The other went for one night, and you know, some good four-hour church services. So I guess it just doesn't seem like it's time to quit right now. All right. And if you know anything about Brother Daniel Woods, after lunch Tuesday, after lunch in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, that brother still stretched one out an hour and 30 minutes. And if you agree, if you're dozing off or not, he's going to preach what God has given him. So. It's still early. We're going to just mention a few things in Scripture real quick. I want you to take your Bibles. I will not be preaching a full sermon here, and it's not even 12 o'clock. I mean, we're going to hold you here at least that long. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 in your Bibles. I thank God for what he's doing. I just, man, it feels good in here, doesn't it? It feels good. And I hope, man, you just receive from the Lord. I appreciate you as a church family. And brothers and sisters, I encourage you to protect this. The devil loves division. He loves you to be disjointed and disconnected from your neighbors. I'm telling you right now, God's doing a mighty thing here at Abundant Life. I know when I spend time in prayer, I feel the confirmation of God letting us know that God has you here for a reason. It's not on accident, and he's wanting to build a mighty church right here in these last days, a beautiful beacon of truth and holiness and unity. And Mark chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 40, very, very familiar reading here. And I'm not even going to look at no notes because I don't want to spend too long here. But I want you to notice there in verse 41 of Mark chapter 12. And remember, we're talking about giving and missions this morning. I just want to say a few things about this before we take up the offering and give out the pledge cards. Verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in 2 mites, which make up a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which had cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I know we're all familiar with this. I was going to preach this morning, if I was going to preach the whole sermon, and once again, I'm leaving the notes over there. I was going to preach on 2 mites and 2 messages. 2 mites and 2 messages. I'm sure you've studied this before, but the treasury there in the temple, close to the court of the women, had 13 boxes there. Interesting about these boxes, coming off the top of these boxes were actually horns, looked like a horn, shofars and horns. And what it was is that they were made of, many times made of different metals, and there was 13 of them, and at the bottom of each box it actually had labeled where the money was going, what it was designated to. And so what they would do, interesting, is they would go there and they would cast their money in there. And naturally, those who had more money would make a bigger noise. You ever been to a bank and went to convert some change into, you know, you're one of them coin machines and it makes all that ruckus? It was almost embarrassing when I used to do that because you're over there with a coffee can full of coins. And you don't want to look too desperate, you know, but you're trying to make the end work the whole month, you know, tie together. Thankfully, I don't have to do that much anymore, but I've done that. And Bill, you're talking about a ruckus, all them coins kind of, you know, changling around, all this stuff. Now, interesting here, I was reading about this. Jesus, as he purposely went here to this treasury, and he beheld. He's watching people give. I mean, think about that. Jesus is watching them give. And he still watches you give. I want to go and tell you that. He still watches you give. There were some of these people in a study Bible I was reading, and I didn't get to confirm the source, but it was in the study Bible. There were some people they called zingers. And what they'd do, they would stand a good distance back from the... And they would toss their money in, so it would make a lot of noise. And everybody would look over there and say, my, they just gave a lot to the kingdom of God. But as the Lord's sitting here and he's watching how these people are given, 2 points I was going to make this morning is it matters how you give and to whom you give. I want you to get that in mind, how you give and to whom you give. 2 mites, 2 messages. The first is how you give. He noticed this widow woman who is destitute, the poorest of the poor, and she had these 2 mites which make up a farthing. From my research about the money of that time, a mite was half a penny, half a cent. 2 of them would make up 1 penny. There's some other other studies on that as well that people have come up with. But nevertheless, it's very little money. It would have made very little noise when she put it in. I want you to notice that. She walks up there. She puts in these two mites. And the great Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, is sitting there and watching her do this. What I want you to understand about giving into the kingdom of God, it's not so much about the portion as much as the proportion. I want you to get that. Sometimes we focus on how much we can give, when really it's the proportion of what we have. What do you give in consideration with what you have? Jesus looks and he acknowledges something about this woman. He said that she has given more than anybody at that time, at that day. He's looking at her, and no doubt people have come in and put in a lot of money. We know they would have come there, and no doubt you had a couple zingers that were there zinging their money in. I mean, it's making all that noise. It's clanging, going down, and probably going to this one out of them 13 boxes, going to this one and this one and this one and that one. And here comes this destitute old widow woman with a couple little mites, tosses it in. And Jesus thought it was worthy enough to admonish his disciples and then inspire Luke to put it in his gospel, then inspire preacher after preacher for centuries to challenge their churches. There's a famous widow woman in heaven, and she never knew she'd be famous. That day she was just giving, not even knowing that the King of Kings was watching her. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Sometimes giving, we don't believe in just giving to, you know, just so everybody can see us. We know that. I know you don't do that. But I want to let you know he's watching us. He knows your finances. He knows what you can do. He knows where your heart is. And I'm a firm believer, you know, that widow woman. I don't believe she gave these two mites, went home and died. I believe she went home and God's a provider. She gave, as Jesus would say. He called it unto him his disciples. Can you imagine Jesus? Look, hey, Peter, come here, look. You see her right there? And over there's a Pharisee in his nice long robe. And Peter said, who are you talking about, my Lord? You talking about that Pharisee? No, the little woman right there. And all of a sudden the disciples come and Jesus said, I want you to listen to me. Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all which have cast into the treasury, for they all did cast in their abundance. It's easy to give when you got a lot, right? I believe God can bless. There's nothing wrong with having. But I've given time. Have you ever given out of a need? You've given and you're at that time financially. Now there are times some maybe have never had to do that so much. But I'm telling you right now, full-time ministry, at times you have to do it. And I'm sure you've been there. Maybe it was early in your marriage, or maybe it was early at one time in life, and you knew you had bills due. And all of a sudden you say, you know, what should I do? What should I do? Should I withhold my tithing? Should I not give to the church? Should I quit supporting missions? And you gave, and God blessed you anyhow. She did give of her want and cast in all that she had, even of all her living. So number one, it matters how you give. Are you a cheerful giver? That word in the Bible means a hilarious giver. Are you excited about giving to the kingdom of God? Amen. Number one, it matters how you give. Search your heart. We contrast it with the widow woman. Number two, it matters to whom you give. All right. I want to show you something here, and then we're gonna have a offering here, and I'll pass out these pledge statements. Second point is this: it matters to whom you give. I want you to notice if your Bibles are open. If not, I'm going to read it to you. Right before Jesus tells the story about this widow woman, listen to what he says. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms of the feast, which devour widows' houses. After he says that, then he goes on to tell about a widow giving two mites to the temple, right? What it means to devour a widow's house means they actually would go there, take advantage of their sorrow, kind of manipulate them to get more money, get their inheritance, get their land. And that's kind of how the temple was. How many of those TV preachers still do that today? They want to call us a Pharisee because we believe living holiness. They're a Pharisee because they're thieves. Here, understand what's going on here. They devour. They take all they can from widows and then live and use it for their own pleasures and for their own sinful ways. So Jesus says, you know, they devour widows' houses. Then he tells a story about the widow. It closes out the chapter, and he instantly opens up with chapter 13, saying that the temple's going to be destroyed. Matters how you give, but it also matters to whom you give. Part of their judgment. When that widow went up there with them two mites and cast it into the treasury, it was just bringing greater judgment because they were manipulating the money and misusing the funds. And God is saying, yeah, that woman gave out of her need, and she gave out of a pure heart. But the ones that she gave to mishandle the money will mishandle the money. And he says, no stone will be left standing upon another. So two mites, two messages. Number one is how you give. Number two, to whom you give. I do believe here, and I mean this with a pure heart, that Abundant Life Tabernacle strives to do its best with our money that you give to be faithful to the kingdom of God. We're not a mega church. We're not trying to build a palace. We're not trying to build a monument for Glenn Jones or Derek Jones. What we want to do is we want to see as many souls won as possible. That's why we invite you every year to our annual business meeting, give you an annual report, member or not. You have to be a member to vote on things. But we want you, if you're a giver and you're here, we want you to see where your money goes. I know there's a salary in which I live upon, and I do invite you. You're welcome to come to my home, and I believe we live within our means. We try our best to. I ain't always been perfect. I've had to learn as a young man how to do better and learn to make better financial decisions. And I appreciate being able to be a full-time pastor and to serve you. I appreciate that. But above what you give, and I came to a great revelation years ago when I first began pastoring about 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. You know, I came to church one day and there was something laying on my desk. It was called an electric bill. And I said, it costs money to have a church. You know, we are tax exempt, but we're not electricity exempt. So, of course, we have basic things that we try to take care of. We pay those things. We repair things. But a great portion of what you give as well goes to missions, goes to save the lost. And if you looked in your bulletin this morning, you will see that. And a lot of that you give, and what we're about to pass out in a moment, is we call a missions pledge. We give them out once a year. I'm going to read this to you, so I'll explain it to you a little bit. Your faith promise commitment is a monthly offering given by faith. Above your tithe to support worldwide and local missions. It's that extra that you give that we're able to do what we do. And thank you for your faithfulness in giving all of you. There's many of you, I've been here 5.5 years. 5 years, not even quite half yet there. But many of you have given for years, and thank you for that. And I know Brother Pastor Glenn has told you that many times. The board thanks you. We all thank you. It's wonderful to give as a church family to help meet the needs of those who are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that need to hear the gospel, to print Bibles, to do outreaches, to help local ministries that are trying to help drug addicts, food banks. And we do a lot in missions, and we appreciate that. And God is so good. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. So at this time, I want the